This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2289. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all, shortwave, on this edition, recorded April 3rd. Australia, Belize, Brazil, Canada, Germany, Indonesia, Korea South, Mexico, Morocco, Myanmar, North America, Romania, Russia, Spain, Turkey, UK, USA, an ID 44 MHz, SWL Fest, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, now that the A25 shortwave season is underway, you may find many updated schedules via the worldofradio.com website, links to them, that is, such as IBE, ALCI, HFCC, and other versions. Also links to the latest World of Radio hit list by Alan Rowe, my DXSWL and media program schedule update, and of course, World of Radio schedules. It's all at worldofradio.com. In New Zealand DX Times, Brian Clark reports, the low-power station on 4835 VL8, Shortwave Radio Australia, as it ID'd, at 1815 UT on the 8th of March. This was following some British music nostalgia program and old-time American radio featuring Walter Winslow. The exact frequency was 4834.976. No medium or shortwave broadcast to be heard from Belize for many years, but there is a 10-watt ham radio beacon on 10 meters, which I often hear, sometimes when hardly anything else is coming through. It's on 28258 CW. Listen for the VVVs and IDs from V31HQ/B. It's in Belmopan, on behalf of the Belize Amateur Radio Club. My last log was March 31st at 2210. As previewed last week, RNA Brazil has started a token broadcast in English and Spanish, only 10 minutes, so that's only 5 minutes of each, supposed to be every night at 0150 UT on 6180 and 11780. We heard the first two broadcasts on April 1st and 2nd UT. It was something about Pará, but the following night it was preempted by a stupid ball game. Well, we know where their priorities lie. Remember the RCI Action Committee? Since 1991, it's been objecting to cutbacks in Canadian international broadcasting. Its spokesperson is still Wojtek Gwiazda, and he's recently published something via the Hill Times on March 31st in light of what's happening in the U.S. Time to restore Radio Canada International, or Canada's World Service. Canada, Canadians, and our federal government have to step up and restore RCI, because it comes down to whether we are enough of a nation to have a world service. If ever there was a time for Canada to restore RCI, it's certainly now, with Canada's sovereignty under attack by President Trump and his administration. We need to get out the story of how Canadians are not caving in, but collectively resisting and rediscovering their identity as Canadians. From NordDX via Kari Kallio in Finland, upcoming transmission times for Jazz AM via Channel 292 Germany. It's Sundays at 10 to 11 UT, every Sunday in April, on 9670. And on 3955, later on Sundays at 21 to 22. Power is supposedly 10 kilowatts, says John of Jazz AM. And the two monthly programs of Uncle Bill Tilford in April, from the Isle of Music, a tribute to one of the giants of Cuban timba, Paulo F.G., who recently passed away in a tragic accident. Friday, April 11th at 17 UT on 6070 and at 21 on 3955. And one more repeat on Sunday, April 13th at 18 UT on 9670. And his other program exactly 1 week later on April 18th and 20th, Uncle Bill's Melting Pot, featuring music from Lesotho, with recommendations from its embassy in the U.S. Speaking of Germany, from the OH3AC club letter via NordDX, via shortwave bulletin. When Friedrich Merz was elected leader of the winning CDU party and then Chancellor of Germany, many knew him only as a party leader, but he is also a distinguished radio amateur, DK7DQ. His message is clear. Radio amateurs are not only nostalgic for the past, but also for the communications experts of the future. Ron Howard in California notes really outstanding propagation. Excellent reception April 1st from Indonesia. RRI Nabiri, Program 1, 7289.93. Heard from 0835 till going off close to 0946. Now that Ramadan is over, it's back to their usual programming, mostly non-stop easy listening songs, and some Middle Eastern or Islamic-influenced music, singing, and announcers. Also with Islamic segments on that date is from 0902 to 0912. Apparently he was hearing that direct as before at Hasil Omar State Beach. But he also reports the Voice of Indonesia 4755 via remote near Jakarta. The English hour is at 10 UT. On April 2nd, there were reports about the earthquake in Myanmar, homecomings for the end of Ramadan, and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a brief spot at 1027. 1032, Indonesian wonders about tourism. But checking various remotes, no trace of the now long-standing silent other frequency of VOI, 3325 via Palangkaraya. Wolfgang Büschel checked 4755, April 2nd at 1251 via remote in Japan, and found it was 11 hertz above 4755. Although missing from their own A25 schedule, KBS World Radio in South Korea is still being heard on 11880, the Spanish hour at 01 UT, good signal now via Wolverton instead of Greenville. Although it still hasn't been confirmed by any source in Mexico, I'm still hearing a hit to 1550 medium wave stations on 1549.815 kHz in the middle of the night, such as March 28th at 0610 UT. It seems to be coming from north or south, and I believe it's XEREL in Morelia, Michoacan. I got the exact frequency or pitch of the hit by comparing it to my keyboard, which was F-sharp below middle C, 185 hertz. This was March 28th at 0610 UT and again on April 1st at 0700. Morocco from Radio Magazine via Medium Wave News. Medium Wave is still used in Morocco, sometimes under difficult conditions due to climate and discontinuation of certain transmitter production facilities. It invested in the renovation of transmitters in 2005. These are currently still in service from SNRT. Alida Alwatania, 540 kHz, 250 kW at Sidi Benur, 595, 100 kW at Oujda, and 612, 100 kW at Seba Ayoun. Also, from what used to be Ifni, or Western Sahara, 711 kHz at Layoun. That one I have heard, or at least the heterodyne on 710 a number of times, but not lately. And note that 595 is 1 kHz off from where it should be in the 9 kHz plan, 594, so it really stands out. The Azilal 207 kHz long-wave transmitter seems to have been definitely withdrawn from service, but the SNRT have inherited the Medi One company, which still operates the 171 kHz long-wave at Silouan, near Nador, a prime location on the Algerian border along the Mediterranean. Although broadcasting at reduced power, it is equipped with four 400 kilowatt units manufactured by Thomson. And more background to the 7-Eleven facility. SNRT was faced with disappearance of the Croatian company RIZ, its main AM and FM supplier. Fortunately, one of RIZ's union leaders, Zeljko Pinturic, has set up a company to maintain RIZ transmitters. When the going gets tough, he steps in and did so with the Layoun site in Moroccan Sahara. This station, located close to the ocean, suffers not only from marine climate, but also from sandstorms, which can completely sand up the feeders and the antenna insulator, as happened to the old transmitter. This broadcasts the Radio La Yun Amazighe program to counter the propaganda of the Radio Nationale de la République Arabe Sahraoui Démocratique, the Polisario Front, on 1550, which broadcasts from Tindouf in Algeria. The terrible earthquake in Myanmar disrupted shortwave transmissions, but of course everyone was trying to hear them once that happened. By now they may be more or less back to normal. The frequencies to check for Myanmar radio are 5915, 5985, and 9730. And then there's Tianjin Radio on 9590 and 7345. In the NASA flash sheet, Ralph Perry in Illinois was hearing 7345 before that on March 26th, with a good signal after 12 UT. Overcoming co-channel interference from CNR7 in Cantonese from China. North America, the Antichrist Pirate, station YHWH 7475, had not been heard for a while somewhere in the southwestern U.S., but Rick Barton in Arizona was hearing it again on the 2nd of April at 0310. And then also heard by Walt Simon of NBC at 0330 tune-in. Old programming about warmongering Christians. Ron Howard remains in contact with Ivan, the operator of what used to be called Hikari FM, probably somewhere in northwestern Sonora or southwestern Arizona. This was the part that was originally called Radio Pushka, and later Radio Vostochnaya Zvezda when it was broadcasting in Russian. But until recently, it was called Hikari FM in Japanese. Well, here's what Ivan says on April 2nd to Ron. I'll be back on shortwave sometime soon. Basically, I'm now crossing my T's and dotting my I's when it comes to radio transmitter design. I have to make the final version of the PCB for the medium wave transmitter, torture it, and if all goes well, sell a few on eBay. I will then repeat the same procedure for shortwave. Perhaps this time I will be popping up around the 60-meter band, but I'm not sure. For the time being, main frequency will be 30 watts on 1710 kilohertz. With some luck, the signal could be picked up in Southern California. Of course, his former shortwave frequency was 11529.9. Last week I gave the full new A25 English schedule for Radio Romania International. In New Brunswick, Richard Langley says, RRI had trouble keeping 11975 on the air the afternoon of 2 April for the 2030 English broadcast to Europe and Eastern North America, several periods when the transmitter left the air for a minute or so. The parallel 17580 cannot be heard here this afternoon, just a trace on the waterfall. He says, I tune into RRI most afternoons just before dinner, and especially on Wednesdays for Romania, the Eastern Flank, the latest Romanian and NATO military missions to react to Russia's aggression. And about Russia, the buzzer, UVB-76, on 4625 kHz. There's a report about this in Rust-DX, a film from the series Trace called Buzzer in Russian. Entertaining film, March 25th, on TV's fifth channel. It's about the shortwave radio station Buzzer broadcasting for many decades. Thousands of fans argue who and why broadcast these sounds. Blogger Nikita Grechkin declares live that he found the buzzer, and he is on the verge of solving its mystery, but a few minutes later he is killed. Trace, one of the most successful Russian crime series, is not just a set of fascinating detective stories. They are all united by the main idea there are no perfect crimes. No matter how hard the attacker tries, he will still leave a trace by which his plan will be revealed. The mysterious buzzer is the stuff of legends, editor Anatoly Klipov says. I watched a movie on TV by accident, apparently the first one to broadcast the buzzer several times. It has been written about a lot in the media lately. He links to four stories about this at the RBC Daily Business Newspaper at www.rbc.ru. Although everything shown on the TV screen is fiction, nothing to do with reality, it is interesting to watch, he says. However, RIA Novosti from Paris, March 21st, reports the French media regulator ARCOM has decided to ban Channel 5 and STS broadcasting in France due to EU sanctions, according to a statement from the media regulator. The Audiovisual and Digital Communications Regulatory Authority has ordered the French satellite manufacturer Eutelsat to stop broadcasting Russian TV channels. Thanks to the World Radio Network, we are still via international vacuum as well as Internet, AM, FM, and shortwave, World of Radio 2289, a non-commercial service like our website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from Moises Kurejokia of Regal Park, New York, formerly Peru, who sent a check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. He says he'll be visiting Peru this year and hopes to provide a band scan of what's being heard there. On the first day of A25, Spanish Foreign Radio was indeed on 15500 new frequency for North America, but no English on Sundays. 15390 for Africa was missing. But by Monday the 30th and Wednesday, April 2nd, at 22 UT for English, 15500 was missing, leaving us to listen via 17715 for South America or 15520 backward to the Middle East. Also missing part of the time has been 15390 for Africa, but it was back on April 3rd, when there's no English. How about Voice of Turkey, which insists on broadcasting English to North America at the same time as Spain, now 22 UT, but it's supposedly daily, on 11785. Reception still not very good into deep North America, but much better on the East Coast, of course. It's bound to be missing sometime, and in that case, check 9875, which is the frequency for the previous English broadcast, now at 2030 to 2130, which is sometimes running overtime instead. I was listening on March 30th, the first day, when it was actually on 9870, a good idea, since it clashes with North Korea until 2050, which was measured on 9874.967. But the following days, Turkey was back on 9875, despite Korea. As for the other English to North America, now at 03 UT, on 7275, which is an intruder into the ham band, it was missing on March 31st. That is, it went off the air instead of coming on at 0302. But there's another frequency beamed the other direction at that time, 6165, which was audible, although with interference from radio teletype on the minus side. In any event, all the English broadcasts are announced as if they were at 1230 on 17620, which is the only one that matters to them, which they originally produce each afternoon. You hear BBC World Service on shortwave. North Americans, of course, have to try to pick up broadcast aimed elsewhere. Well, there's one at 12 to 14 UT on 21565, which is 85 degrees eastward from Madagascar with 250 kilowatts. You might think that would not be appropriate for us, but it's been getting some good reviews by Mike Cooper in Georgia. And Stephen Luce in Houston says, looks like we have a winner for North American reception during A25. Just when you think shortwave might be dead, it sits up in the coffin and reminds us of its glory days. However, reception of this can vary from day to day. It wasn't so good on April 3rd. The presenter of Hard Talk on BBC, Stephen Sackur, S-A-C-K-U-R, has been sacked, and he's not happy about it. Quite a report about this in The Guardian of March 24th, via Mike Cooper. So he's leaving the BBC, but who knows, he might turn up at some other international radio or TV broadcaster. Independent from the UK reports on the VOA situation. A federal judge in New York City granted a temporary restraining order on March 28th to several VOA journalists attempting to stop the Trump administration from shutting down the international broadcaster on grounds that the move is unlawful and unconstitutional. U.S. District Court Judge J. Paul Utkin issued the TRO to prevent any further administration efforts to terminate VOA. This prevents the administration from moving forward with firing hundreds of VOA contractors who were set to be terminated on March 31st. And this would stop the 900 employees placed on indefinite leave from being targeted for a reduction in force for the time being. The TRO would likely be in effect for 3 weeks. A day earlier, the Trump administration backed down in a suit filed by RFERL, agreeing to withdraw a grant termination and allow the broadcaster to continue to receive federal funds. In medium wave news, Steve Witt has surveyed the high-power medium wave transmitters of USAGM and found that many of them are either off the air or status unconfirmed. Of course, Greenville is still totally silent, although Radio Marti seems to be back in action, but not on shortwave. According to the Radio Liberty website in Russian, svoboda.org, via Alex Myatnikov, they may cease evening relays on medium wave by mid-April. That's 1386 via Lithuania. Not only the Czech government, but also Slovenia, is now calling for the EU to fund Radio Free Europe, in a joint statement with 10 EU member states. These comments in New Zealand DX Times. It's absolutely mystifying that the U.S. government should want to remove its presence from the airwaves. In the hands of the unpopular failed Arizona governor and Senate candidate Carrie Lake, U.S. government has silenced its voice on the international bans. It can no longer counter the Chinese arguments. The Pacific and Africa are wide open to persuasion, and the U.S. cannot respond. A quick check on the bans reveals no signals from VOA, Radio Marti, Radio Free Asia, RFE, Radio Liberty. One can only hope for an eventual change of government or for the scales to fall from their eyes. No breath should be held. 60 Minutes on CBS Television had a 13-minute report on the VOA situation March 30th. You can find it on the website cbsnews.com. Nigerian Sketch via Kim Elliott reports that Shaka Sali, renowned journalist and former host of VOA's Straight Talk Africa, passed away on March 27th at the age of 71, following surgery for an undisclosed ailment. The news sent shockwaves throughout African journalism, as tributes have poured in from colleagues, friends, and admirers, who recognized his contributions to journalism over more than two decades. You may want to read more about him. It's Shaka Sali. From the CPJ website via Mike Barraclough, a letter April 1st signed by 38 organizations directed to members of Congress. We are bringing to your urgent attention the perilous plight of journalists who worked for the U.S. Agency for Global Media. They are at grave risk of harassment, threats, and even imprisonment due to their association with these independent media outlets. We write for your assistance to ensure they are protected. These stakes could not be higher. Many of them reported on politically sensitive issues in their home countries from the U.S. because it was unsafe for them to do so back home. They now face an uncertain future. Via Takahito Akabayashi in Japan, this news as of April 3rd about the situation of Radio Free Asia. It has resumed shortwave transmissions from two sites in Taiwan, continuing in Uyghur, Korean, Burmese, and Khmer, with a reduced schedule, while these languages have been terminated, Chinese, Tibetan, and Lao. According to the Shaolin broadcasting site, here are the schedules. In Uyghur, 15 to 16 on 11805, 16 to 17 on 9560. In Korean at 12 to 14 on 9900. Burmese at midnight 30 to 1:30 on 15245, and 02 to 03 on 15245. Khmer at 12:30 to 13:30 on 11885. A change to World of Radio scheduling on WRMI, I noticed Sunday, March 30th, for some months, at 2330 UT, we've been on both 7570 and 7780, but this time we were only on 7780. Also, the next few nights, later in the night, I've noticed 7780 has been off the air instead of 24 hours. I've also noticed several other disruptions in their scheduling. WRNO New Orleans has been missing from 7505. Checked between 01 and 03 UT on March 30th and April 1st. I wonder what's wrong. On April 3rd, the number 3 transmitter of WWCR was unusually off the air. No 4840 at night, nor 13845 in the following daytime, maybe due to storms moving through the area. Of course, some months earlier, the number 1 transmitter was taken off the air deliberately. Supposedly, it could be used to replace another one if it fails. Something's very busted at Bethel's new 300 kilowatt transmitter at WMLK in Pennsylvania. It's on 15150 in the pre-noon hours, but April 3rd at 1448, it was also transmitting a galaxy of spurs every 4 kilohertz above and below 15150, from 15134 to 15166. Very weak at the edges, but quite strong with modulation closer to 15150. From Channel 2 in St. Louis via IRCA, KMOX expands reach with FM frequency. Yes, one of the major clear channel AM stations, 1120, has downgraded that and they're now announcing as 104.1. Even so, there's still 50 kilowatts on AM after some lower power for a while. At least KMOX FM is also 50 kilowatts, unlike so many AM stations pretending to be FM stations if they have only a mere translator. John Filiozzi notes that C. Crane has instituted price changes in its products of up to more than 20% in some cases due to what it says generically are rising costs. Since all of the products listed are manufactured in China, could these price changes be due to tariffs imposed by the Trump government on them? In Line of Sight DX from WTFDA, Doug Smith comments about the ATSC version 1 shutoff or not. Will there be a drop-dead date in 2028 for ATSC 1, with ATSC 3 replacing it, or next-gen television? The mandatory shutdown will not happen, is the general opinion. It's hard to believe that the 2028 end date will hold. The stations would have to convert existing facilities to 3.0, requiring extensive new encoding equipment, probably around $50,000 worth or more for each station. And he goes through many other technical reasons. On the viewer's end, people buy TVs relatively often, but to expect every receiver to be replaced in 3 years is unreasonable. The advantages of ATSC 3 are not extensive enough to push adoption. Increased use of streaming since the analog shutdown means many viewers now have the option of not watching linear TV at all. In Real DX, here's an interesting ID from Peter Wilson in southeastern Botswana. On exactly 44 megahertz, a studio transmitter link from a radio station in French heard at 1235 UT on the 28th of March. I suppose it's trans-equatorial propagation from North Africa or maybe Europe. The 38th annual NASFA SWL Festival takes place April 25th and 26th in Fort Washington, Pennsylvania. If you would like to attend in person or via Zoom, read all about it and make your arrangements at www.swlfest.com. The propagation outlook from SWPC issued March 31st. We expect lots of storming from minor to moderate to active and unsettled. ANKNC's peaking at 35 and 6 on April 5th and 9th, and not getting quiet until April 16th, 5 and 2. Solar flux peaking at 185 April 7th and 8th, and down to 165 by April 21st. Consult our website for much more info, worldofradio.com. With many thanks to all our stations and contributors. Hoping you'll hear me again next week. Glenn Hauser here concluding World of Radio 2289 with a standard disclaimer.